we know that the Christmas season is more than simply celebrating on December 25. It is an extended, joyful celebration of the coming of the Word made flesh. It starts with an octave, 8 days, and we're in the middle of the octave now. This is the fourth day of Christmas already. On the fourth day, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Innocents, whom we honor as martyrs for Christ. The martyrs are always a bit of a contradiction to us. Every feast of a martyr brings this up. They suffer something terrible, and we have a joyful celebration. But it seems even more striking in the Feast of the Holy Innocents, because not only are these children of Bethlehem martyred for Christ, but they're so young, they had no choice in the matter. They didn't decide to give themselves for Christ, they were taken. In fact, this feast really brings out the two sides of the mystery, dying, rising. The terrible side and the great side, the sorrowful side and the joyful side. What's probably striking at first is the terrible side. Herod orders the massacre of all the boys under 2 years old in the whole area of Bethlehem. It's frighteningly evil. It makes us cringe to think of soldiers walking through a village and just slaughtering innocent children. It's hard to even imagine it. What could be worse than killing innocent children? I think everybody agrees on that, even the most atheistic, most secular thinker would have to say it's not a good thing for political powers to use their power for the death of innocent children. I think everybody would agree on that one. So it's a horrible thing, and today's gospel concludes with this poignant recall of the sobbing, lamenting mothers who have lost their children. Brings to my mind, some of you were with me in Pulo on a Sunday. I had a Mass there for the Feast of the Holy Family, and then after the Mass I was asked to bless two dead children. One of them was 11 years old. The parents were there. It was their only child. He died at age 11. And then as I was walking back toward the car, I passed a week, a child only 2 months old. Of course, the parents are there mourning the loss of their children. The liturgy, though, doesn't simply recall the sorrow or the grief that comes with the death of innocent children. The liturgy says this is something to celebrate. These children who were slaughtered for Christ are spotless lambs, and they joyfully sing the glory of God in heaven. They participate in the victory of Christ over sin and death. This is the way it is with all the martyrs. The martyrs in heaven never look at their suffering or the injustice done against them as such a bad thing. It becomes, from the perspective of heaven, the way to enter into glory. So that's how the liturgy speaks of these children. They couldn't even speak, but they gave powerful testimony to Jesus Christ. They're witnesses, they're martyrs. There's a line in today's Office of Readings that captures this. How great a gift of grace is here. To what merits of their own do the children owe this kind of victory? They cannot speak, yet they bear witness to Christ. They cannot use their limbs to engage in battle, yet already they bear off the palm of victory. So, Maybe one of the good things about this strange feast is that it shows that the victory of the martyrs, of all martyrs, not only these innocent children, but it's clearer in this feast, the victory of the martyrs is a gift that comes from God. We might think of the heroic martyrs of church history. We think of Maximilian Kolbe, for example, or any of the great martyrs of the early church. And we say, well, gosh, they were just so strong and so courageous and had such invincible faith. Who could ever be like them? Well, that kind of thinking doesn't work when it comes to little children. They're not strong. They're not courageous. They don't have invincible faith. They don't even know what's happening. And yet they get this victory. So it tells us the victory of the martyrs is, first of all, it is not simply a heroic act of some people who just have such great courage. It's a gift from God to be able to make an offering of our lives for Him. In the background of this feast is the story of Moses. Remember, Moses was also born in a hostile environment. He was born in Egypt. There were also strong political powers out to kill him. Just like Jesus. Jesus is born in a hostile territory. There's no room for him in the inn. Herod is out to kill him. So same happened at Moses. Centuries before, Moses is born, and Pharaoh has this policy that all the baby boys are supposed, or the Hebrews, are supposed to be killed. The midwives won't do it. They have more common sense, of course, than the Pharaoh. But Pharaoh insists that if they are born, if a boy is born, he should be thrown into the river, the Nile. Moses escapes through a very providential turn of events. He ends up being raised as the son of the Pharaoh's own daughter. So it's a story of how God is at work, even at times of extraordinary evil, how God can rescue His chosen ones from the very grasp of the evil one, just like a bird being freed from the snare of the fowler. So that's the story of Moses. He's rescued, but the other Hebrew boys are killed. Jesus, rescued by Joseph, particularly by Joseph, who gets this title, the Savior of the Savior, from this event. Joseph takes the child and his mother and flees to Egypt. Another connection to Moses, the Egypt connection. But the other boys happen to be born around Bethlehem and happen to be under 2 years old, are slaughtered. I sometimes think that perhaps some of those children were the baby boys of the shepherds, because the shepherds live in Bethlehem and they have families and probably they have little baby boys. So those shepherds who on Christmas night are rejoicing at the great news of the coming of the Messiah, a few weeks later are mourning the death of their own little boys. Anyway, the background is the story of Moses. In the middle of the tragedy of human history is Jesus' arrival and victory over sin and death. And then we look into the future, in fact, into our own day, and we see that the horrible evil of killing innocent children has not gone away. In fact, it's worse now than it ever was in the time of Pharaoh or the time of Herod. Abortion is the slaughter of innocent children. It's not just a few baby boys, it's more often girls nowadays, but it's done as a decision from people who have power over the life of the children, sacrifice the children for their own kingdom. Everyone who participates in abortion in some way acts like Herod. Now, oftentimes, you know, if it's these young women who are troubled. They don't. They're not so malicious as Herod. They feel caught and they feel like there's no way out. So we have those women need the support of the Christian community so that they can bring their children into the world and the children can be properly cared for. But looking at the abortion problem from the, not just from the personal perspective, but from the global perspective, it's a huge slaughter of innocent children. What's the response to all this evil? Jesus himself is the response. Jesus himself enters into this world which is hostile to life, which is hostile to innocence, which is threatening, and he says, I'll take this on. I'll take this problem on. I'll lay down my life to overcome no matter any and all sin. This is what's mentioned at the end of the first reading today. My children, I'm writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, if anyone is Herod, if anyone is Pharaoh, if anyone is any one of us and any one of our sins, large or small, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins. He pays the whole price. He's the ransom, not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. There isn't any sin that is too much for Jesus Christ, even the slaughter of innocents, even massacre, even genocide is not too much for Jesus Christ. This is why this is a joyful feast, because no matter how bad things are, the goodness of God way, way overpowers it by far. So these innocent babies of Bethlehem can rejoice. Even though something terrible is done to them, they can rejoice because of Jesus Christ. We who live in an era of terrible evils being done to innocent children and to innocent people, we can still rejoice because of the power of the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. So this is a Christmas message for us. Why is this little baby here? Why was he born and placed in swaddling clothes and laid in the manger? He came to offer himself. He came to save us. He's the savior of the world. We are like the birds who were trapped in the fowler's snare. We're trapped in the net of sin and death. We couldn't get ourselves out. We suffer all sorts of injustices. But along comes Jesus, and he frees us. He frees us from our own sin and from the sins being committed in the world. It's a very positive, a very joyful feast. Even though we start with something horrible, we conclude with the awareness that in light of Jesus Christ, nothing is really so horrible because he can even use evil for good, a marvel of God's love for us. So we give thanks to God for coming and for offering his life to save us all.